Our first scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5b through 11. All of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. There is no time like that today, this day, where we feel that this scripture, the second scripture reading, is very true. All our brothers and sisters in the world are suffering the same pain, undergoing the same kinds of suffering. So in this time of global pandemic, but also the reason why I chose this scripture passage for today is because it's speaks of what we are going to say with the final phrase of the Lord's Prayer. So before we go there, so let's have a very brief moment for children and for us with the young spirit, right? So here, I will say the Lord's Prayer, and you let me know what's missing in my saying of the Lord's Prayer. Peg, are you ready? Okay. I might be fast in saying this prayer, but please notice what's missing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm done. What's missing? Kay, Peg, what's missing? You didn't notice any words that were missed, right? But you know what? What is missing is my heart. I didn't put my heart into it when I said that prayer that way, right? And that happens. That happens. Sometimes, I hope this just, it happens just sometimes, not most of the time, that when we say the Lord's Prayer, we should be sure that we put our heart into it. And that is the reason why we have been engaged with this sermon series on the Lord's Prayer over the last 6 weeks. And I hope that this series has been found helpful for you to understand these deeper meanings and to be able to say the prayer and mean it. You mean it. So today we have come to the concluding clause of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. But do you know that this phrase was not actually in the earliest manuscripts of the Gospels? That's why you don't read in Matthew 6 this line. Actually, it is believed that this phrase was added by the early Christians, not by Jesus. Not by Jesus. But hey, you may say, hey, Pastor, when you said we can pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, and should we say this? And my answer is yes. following the examples of the forebears of faith. And one of the earliest places where we see this phrase along with the other lines of the Lord's Prayer is early Christian teaching manual called the Didache, which means the teaching. And it has very short text with less than 3,000 words. And to the early Christians, the Didache was the second most important book outside of the Bible. So, since the beginning of the Christian community formation, this phrase as the closing word for the Lord's Prayer has strengthened the heart and souls of people who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's why we say this. But I will encourage you to imagine the early Christians, men and women, children and the elderly, who gathered in hiding while the danger of being killed because of their faith by the brutal power of the Roman Empire was real. But fear was not more powerful than their faith. So they were meeting in homes, in caves, and in catacombs, which is known to be as the burial place in the underground. Following Jesus' example, they said the prayer, beginning Abba, Father, and when their prayer came to the point where they said, deliver us from evil, then they knew that they were able to say it because of the reality and power of Jesus' victory over death and over evil power. Then they felt that they could finish this prayer in some other words to make a shout of joy and cheer and faith. So they said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That way, they wanted to affirm their faith in the one and true God, though they were living in terrifying situations and circumstances under brutal power. They did not stop teaching themselves, each other, and their children that it is God to whom the true kingdom, power, and glory belong. It is God to whom they belong. But think about how dangerous these words must be for them to speak. There was the emperor outside, and the emperor's legion and gold were declaring that the power and the glory of the whole world belong to the empire. So this is the same with us. Perhaps we shouldn't think that we already know what we mean when we use these words. Kingdom, power, and glory are risky and dangerous words. Needless to say, these are very political words. So on the one hand, we love these words. Living in this one of the greatest, the most powerful nation on earth. And especially now, living in an election season, we see that our love of these words is true. Our perception of our power and our admirations for the glory of our nation are on full display. I will not bring up any names, but think about how the political candidates reveal their views on power, success, and glory. Yes, in our society, politics is the exercise of a power. And from those who have a power, we say, glory, emanate. The political candidates wanted to prove before us their nobility to bear the glory of this nation in their speech and appearance. What is also very true is that we demand great strength and intelligence in our leaders who represent our nation to the rest of the world to show the glory and power of this nation. Okay, then now let's think about and talk about Jesus. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus taught and practiced and revealed God's kingdom, God's power, and God's glory. But rather than coming like the most Jews expected, the Messiah to come as a powerful king who would defeat Israel's enemies with his military might and charismatic leadership, what we saw in Jesus was like this. Jesus came as a meek rabbi who used his power to feed the hungry, heal the sick, and befriend the outcast. And dare to confront the powerful with a nothing in his hand. Interestingly, even at the beginning of his earthly ministry, Satan tried to ruin Jesus' campaign with the temptation of a power. As you know well, Satan, who claimed that he could entrust economic, religious, and political powers to others as he pleased, brought up the changing stones to loaves of bread, took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, and showed Jesus in the word of that Satan all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. How did Jesus respond? He responded power. He responded with God's power to reject the power from Satan's hand. Yes, Jesus had the powers, as we see in his stories of feeding, healing, teaching, and self-giving. He exercised the power for good. For good. Okay, here you might say, that's the same with my favorite political leaders. But Jesus didn't use the means and methods of the world's kingdoms. Unlike our politicians, Jesus refused to raise his party or army. He refused to use violence or enmity, even for certain good ends. He wasn't driven by a desire to shine his glory, nor even the glory of one nation. And ironically, Jesus' glory was his cross, and his power was in giving himself. I cannot help believing that any presidential campaign with Jesus-like leadership and agenda will never win. Even for our own personal lives, it doesn't come naturally to welcome that kind of way of life. What in the world is it supposed to mean when we say these words, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory"? Well, here, do we want to conclude our prayer in these final words to simply say, "Hey, God, you are God and we are humans. Hey God, you are up there and we are here on the bottom"? That way, just to point out this earth and sun distance between God and us? Is it what we are doing in this final phrase of the Lord's Prayer? No. Again, that's not why the early Christian added these words in the Lord's Prayer. Even under persecution, even when the rest of the whole world all bowed before Caesar, they said, "The kingdom, the power, and the glory are all yours, O God." They said it because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the one sent by God, showing the example of life on earth. And because they took upon themselves the holy boldness to join Jesus in calling God Abba, Father, and believed that they were the people of the true King, the Christ people. So I hope and pray that you and I have this boldness to believe and join Jesus in every matter of our lives here. If Jesus is the true King of all the world, most importantly, if Jesus is the Lord of our own lives, whose kingdom and authority defines a power and authority, and we know answer, it is in Jesus. And we saw it in the manger, on the mount, in the street, in the house of a sinner, in the temple with the overturned tables of the money changers, and on the cross, and in the garden. So, we pray this. And to pray this prayer is to pray that God's kingdom, God's power, and God's glory may be seen in all the world. Most of all, to pray this prayer means that we submit in our own lives to God's alternative kingdom vision. Having been reminded of this again today, I hope that when we pray this prayer with all our heart and strength, thus with both on our knees and with our legs, I hope people at the City Hall, at the Congress, and at the White House will get nervous, because they know that we do not simply recite it, but we mean it, and we work for God's alternative kingdom vision to come in reality. Doesn't this sound to you too pushy? This prayer pushes you to an action? If it does, please know that to pray this prayer is to invoke not the power from the bottom of your heart or your body, but to invoke the power of the Spirit of God. Remember that we pray this prayer for thine is the kingdom. In other words, because what is true, we say this prayer. Because of God, because of who God is and what God does, we can pray this prayer and put our heart into it, believing that our prayer will be answered. One of my favorite theologians, whose name is Marcus Borg, who passed away a couple years ago, said this: to be Christians is to be re-socialized into a different understanding of reality and way of life, and live in a relationship to another Lord and vision being shaped by the Bible and Jesus. May I dare to say what I wrote, wrote from his writing that followed that sentence? And then he said this: being Christian doesn't mean being anti-American, but it does mean that a Christian identity and loyalty matter more than national identity and loyalty. So, in each election season, it means that in casting our vote, we let our Christian identity and loyalty, and thus our faith in God's kingdom visions, speak through our vote. Not to speak through our elected leader, but through our vote, what we wanted to speak is our faith and our Christian identity and loyalty. Okay. But now some of you might say this, just as I found in the back of my mind when I wrote this far, a voice saying to me, "So what? Hey, peace. So what? Are you going to turn this world upside down? Why is the revealing of God's kingdom, power, and glory in our public life important to us? Why? So what?" And you may echo the voice by saying, "Oh, my mind 24/7 are preoccupied with how I can pay the bills and balance the checkbook this month again." You might say, "I don't have the luxury of engaging in politics. Caring for my aging parents and my health issues are what I have to deal with every month and every day." You might say, my heart is hurting and aching because the relationship in my family is at risk. You might say, I am sick of this situation with the virus. No hopeful sign at all. This troubles me. Again, here is the questions. Why are these high words at the end of this prayer? Could we ever simply finish this prayer with our petitions for bread and petitions for forgiveness and petitions for a free and joyful life? I believe it is because these words bring us back to center where our identity is. It is in God. Because these words return our hearts and minds and set us in the right directions to living into what God is willing and doing and speaking in our personal and public life. Right? In our everyday life, we feel pain and frustrations and we are in need of help. We are in need of action for change. But then, with this concluding phrase, please know that we are encouraged to lift our head and look forward because, again, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, O God. That way we are invited to have a freedom from the battles of the worldly kingdom, freedom from our exhausting chase for our power, our glory, and our kingdom. And then learn to live fully and freely into God's will, God's love, and God's holiness. So I hope and pray that you and I may say with all our heart, O God, the kingdom and the power and the glory are all yours. In other words, my dreams, my plans, and my glory are all yours because I am yours. Because I belong to you. Because I'm an offering to you. So may we put our hearts into it when we say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory to finish this beautiful prayer.